Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 325, the first two verses. Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from it I will not depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. 1 and 2 of 325. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to Luke, thereof the 15th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse to the end. But first, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Luke chapter 15, beginning with the 11th verse. And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Thus far the reading of God's holy word.
Congregation, we wish to remember in prayer Andre and Tina Kabai, who were blessed with a healthy baby girl, and also Mrs. Charmaine Van Maren, who could return home from the hospital. Let us ask the Lord for his blessing and his presence among us this morning. Almighty, eternal, merciful, and gracious Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thy goodness and long-suffering patience and mercy, we may be together again in this morning. Thou hast kept and spared every one of us in this past week and weeks, and we may yet be in the time of grace. Again, we have the opportunity to come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us. And we have heard thy law, and we have heard also the gospel. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thy law may be a schoolmaster to bring us unto him, unto that only Savior, Jesus Christ. We beg thee then for that free and sovereign grace, that irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, that sinners may become sinners, lost sinners, wretched sinners, that Pharisees, self-righteous ones, would become lost, and that prodigal ones may be brought unto thee. O, we beg thee, thou who art that one who seeks and saves sinners, come among us this morning with the presence of thy Holy Spirit to seek and save. Thou hast been given all power, and thou hast that power to give life. Lord, we have read in thy word also that there was murmuring, complaining that thou receivest sinners, and thou hast answered that murmuring with three parables. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then richly bless thy word. May we hear it, that thou receivest sinners. And we all are sinners. We know it in our heads, but may it become real for the first time or by renewal, that we become lost, that we have nothing, that we're just wretched before thee, and that this parable, the word of God, may become, even through this familiar parable, may become so new, that it may become food, that it may become sweet for our souls this morning. May it become a wonder. May it become amazing grace for wretches. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then rend the heavens and come among us and work mightily, irresistibly, taking away all the weapons of resistance, conquering hearts, giving life, giving that true confession, working those fruits that thou alone can work of true repentance and true saving faith. Oh, may we beg thee, Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy honor, for thy glory, and for our eternal welfare. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances in listening. Lord, by nature we are spiritually deaf. Open then spiritually deaf ears to hear thy word, to hear thy voice. By nature we are spiritually blind. We do not see who we are, and we do not see who thou art, that almighty, holy, and just God. And we have no eyes to look, no need for that only Savior. O Lord, we beg thee that thou would come then and also reveal him unto us for the first time, but also by renewal, that thy dear people may also grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But O, we beg thee, Lord, take away those dead hearts and give new hearts. Give life, take away hearts of stone, and give hearts of flesh. Lord, unto whom else can we go? Thou art the only one who can give that true spiritual life. Thou art the only one who can help that poor and needy, wretched people who pine away in their sins. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that the hearing of the word may work faith, true saving faith in thee and in thy Son. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come with the wind, that irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and that also not only that life may be given, but also that faith that thou hast planted in the hearts of thy dear people, that it may be given to be an exercise, that they may be given to look away from self for a little unto thee. And thou callest through thy word, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then that thy word may come with power, and that we would not only understand it, but that it may come with power into our hearts, that it may work life, faith, repentance, and that sinners may be drawn unto thee, and that they may experience that mercy and grace that thou receivest sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then give that in this morning, in this day, through thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that there may be food and drink, that there may be a little crumb from the Master's table for poor and needy sinners. Oh, wilt thou give a little water? And thou hast promised in thy word that thou would pour water upon the dry ground. And Lord, by nature, our hearts are only dry. There is no life. And even after grace, they can become so dry again, so hard. Oh, Lord, we look unto thee then, and we beg thee, come among us, work mightily. Lord, we lay before thee the whole congregation, from the youngest unto the oldest. We all have the same need. We're all sinners. We need thy grace. We need to be led and taught of that only mediator between a sinner and a holy and just God. Oh, wilt thou work in and give that need and lead unto him, and that we may hear his voice. May it be this morning through thy word that he would speak of that salvation that is in him, and that souls may be comforted with thy salvation. Lord, we ask that thou would then remember those who have left, maybe sons and daughters, real prodigals. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would bring them back, awaken them, and remember parents who mourn and grieve because of prodigal sons and daughters. May they also hear of that hope in the Almighty God of heaven and earth, who can bring them to themselves, and that they may be brought to repentance, and that they may return. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake and for their eternal welfare. We beg and ask thee, Lord, to remember all those who are mourning. Wilt thou comfort them? Remember widows, those who have lost children, a sibling, other family members, friends. O Lord, thou art the God of all comfort. Wilt thou comfort them with that only true comfort that thou alone can give to fill that empty place? Remember all those who are sick and afflicted with physical needs, with mental needs. Help them. Remember those with special needs. Care for them and help those who care for them, Lord. We pray and ask thee to remember also those who received a healthy baby girl in this past week. Give them thankful and broken hearts that thou hast spared life and given life. And may this little child be born to be born again. Help us as parents, Lord, to also be honest, to be faithful, to be diligent unto that promise we have made unto thee, to raise our children to the utmost of our power in the truth of thy word. Forgive all our many sins also as parents. Remember those who are sick and afflicted. And Lord, we may give thee thanks also that thou hast also made all things well through surgery for Charmaine Van Meren. Lord, remember her as she has been able to return home. Give her recovery. Give her patience as she waits for the results. Sanctify this calling also to her husband, to her family, but to all of us. Oh, may we hear thy voice speaking through thy word, but also through thy acts of providence, that thou art speaking, prepare to meet thy God. O Lord, wilt thou prepare us, take us, lead us, guide us, renew us. Take us by heart and hand and lead us in that only narrow pathway that leadeth unto thee. Lord, take sinners and transplant them from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, we ask that thou would help all thy servants throughout the whole world who have come and called by thee to preach the gospel, death in Adam and life in Christ. Give each one the unction of the Holy Spirit, and that they may preach not according to the will of men, but according to the will of God, according to the meaning of the Spirit, and that thou would richly bless it, that thy kingdom may come. Help the elders in the vacant congregations. Lord, remember the students. Help them as they prepare to begin the instruction in a few weeks. Be with them, Lord. Guide them, lead them, teach them, and help the instructors. We pray and ask and beg thee, Lord, to bless all mission work, all evangelism, all outreach locally in prisons, but also among children. The Lord willing, this week also, when maybe that children from the neighborhood may hear simple Bible stories, Lord, we beg thee that thou would bless it to their souls also. But remember, Lord, thy work among Jew and Gentile. And may we lay before thee especially also thy covenant people. O Lord, work mightily, take away the veil from their eyes, and that they may see that the New Testament testifies of Jesus Christ, that he is the Messiah. Lord, thou art faithful for thy own honor, for thy own glory. Remember them in thy mercy and work irresistibly. But bless thy word among all nations throughout the whole world. And may we ask thee also to remember the Bolivians, that place thou hast given us also in Bolivia as a denomination. Richly bless thy word among them and seek and save many sinners, that many may come to know thee, become lost in self, guilty before a holy God, and come to know that only name given among men whereby we must be saved. Help then all thy servants in Bolivia, and especially we beg thee, help Pastor Marco, the elders, the deacons, the church workers. Give faithfulness to thy word, and Lord, richly bless it. May thy kingdom come, and may it be extended also in Bolivia. But Lord, remember us also as a denomination. We're guilty, we're polluted, we deserve nothing. But Lord, in thy wrath, remember mercy and bless us with that free and sovereign work of an almighty triune God, and save and teach and lead and guide. And may there be opening to preach of that only name, Jesus Christ, of him and of his righteousness to cover unrighteous sinners, to proclaim that only way of salvation and that only way of cleansing from his all atoning blood. And so, Lord, we beg thee, as we lay all these needs before thee, we are sinful, we are corrupt, we are polluted, we're filthy, we're undeserving, Lord. Thou could righteously pass us by, but thou hast said in thy word, I do it not for your name's sake, but for my name's sake. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then for thy name's sake, come, give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach. Give words, give freedom, give opening, opening to hear, opening to speak, and we beg thee for thy presence. And thou hast said, Lord, that where two or three are gathered, I will be in the midst. Come, Lord, have mercy. Wash and cleanse us from all our many sins. Look upon us, hear us, answer us, because of him who sits at thy right hand, in whom thou art well pleased, we ask in his name, for Jesus' sake, amen. Congregation, let us continue now this morning's worship service with singing from Psalter 428, the first three stanzas. How blessed are the perfect in the way, who walking in Jehovah's law with pleasure, preserve their piety from day to day. How blessed are they who make his word their treasure, who keep his testimonies and display their love for him, whose goodness none can measure. 428, the first three stanzas, and the collections for today is the first for the church and the second for the Emeritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we see in Luke chapter 15, in those first two verses, the Lord Jesus Christ maybe standing there, and near to him, we read in verse 1, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. Those publicans and sinners came close to him. Maybe they wanted to sit right in the very front, close, because today they didn't have the technology that we have with different ways to hear. So they wanted to be very close to hear every word that came off the lips of the precious Lord Jesus Christ. But then I see another group of people also standing there, close maybe. Who are they? The public or the Pharisees? And we read then in verse 2, and the Pharisees and scribes murmured. So they're not listening attentively. They didn't come with a hunger to hear every word that came from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're there, they're murmuring. They're complaining. Why are they murmuring? Why are they complaining? What is the subject that they're complaining about? Well, we read, this man. No, they didn't say the Lord Jesus. They didn't even call him a prophet. They say kind of with scorn, this man. What? What about this man? Receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Before, for example, in Matthew 9 verse 11, they said he's the friend of publicans and sinners. In Luke 7 verse 34, they said that he receiveth. But now he receiveth and eateth with them. They're murmuring about the greatest news ever upon this earth for lost sinners. They're murmuring that the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners. Think about that for a moment. Children, teenagers, older ones, they're complaining that the Lord Jesus Christ accepts, receives sinners. And that's who you are. That's who I am. We all have the same name this morning, sinner. But may I ask you, that Jesus Christ receives sinners, has that become a message that came into your ear, entered your heart, and gave you joy? Deep, profound joy that Jesus Christ receives sinners. And the Lord Jesus hears this murmuring. And then he answers this murmuring with three parables. Three parables have three similar thoughts. In each parable, it speaks about being lost, it speaks about being found, and it speaks about joy. But then we come to the third parable, and all these thoughts come to a climax, and the Lord Jesus expounds upon them. The first parable, it speaks about, all of them speak about two groups. One of 100, the first. One of 100 sheep. The second is one of 10 coins. And then we read of two sons in the last parable. One son, the prodigal. At the end, he is saved. And the other remains lost. So the Lord Jesus Christ responds to the murmuring and give these parables. And this morning, with the Lord's help. And we all know this parable. It's very familiar. And yes, I've preached on this many times. But may it become new. May it become food for my soul, for your soul. May it come that we see with those spiritual eyes, not only who we are, lost sinners, yes, that is necessary, but that we may hear of who Jesus Christ is, that he receives sinners. And that simple message, but that beautiful message, may come into our ears, into our hearts, and give that true joy that nothing else can give. And so this morning, we will meditate upon the parable of the prodigal son. In this moment, we will only read Luke 15, verse 24. Luke 15, verse 24. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. So the theme this morning is a gracious father and a prodigal son. Three thoughts. First, a son departing from his father. We read this, for example, in verse 13. Second thought, a son returning to his father. And we read this in verse 17, verse 18, and 19. And then the last thought, a son received by his father. And we read that verse 20 through 24. So a gracious father and a prodigal son. A son departing from his father, a son returning to his father, and a son received by his father. And may the Lord richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit. And maybe keep your Bible open, because we will be going through this chapter in different verses. So a son departing from his father. I was a farmer, congregation, and I had animals. And animals sometimes can go lost. We cannot blame them. So we see a lost sheep in the first parable. In the second parable, there's a lost coin. And a coin doesn't have any will. It can't think. We can't blame a coin at all for ever going lost. But now in the third parable, the Lord gives a picture of two sons and of a son going lost. Of a son willingly, rebelliously leaving his father's home. That's a picture of you and me. It's a spiritual picture of you and me spiritually. And then he gives a description in this parable of how this son became so lost. How he departed from his father. So how? How did he come to this place of being so lost? What did he do? Well, we read in verse 12 that he has a request from his father. He asks for his father to give him his inheritance. Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And as the younger son, he would get a third. The older son would get two-thirds, as we read in the ceremony law in Deuteronomy. But this son asks his father for his inheritance now. And young people, congregation, when do we receive an inheritance? We receive normally an inheritance when our parents pass away. So this young man literally, very rudely, filled with no care for his father, is really asking, Father, I wish you would pass away so I could have my inheritance. What a rude, rebellious request. What a heart without any love for his dear father. That's a picture of you and me. Of how we were in paradise. How we willfully, rebelliously sinned against God. Certainly the father wouldn't give this young man, wouldn't hear such a rude, careless request. But he does. The father divided unto them his living. So the father gives this young man his inheritance. He gives him his inheritance. How old was this young man? We don't know. We have no idea. But maybe he was 13. Maybe he was 15. Maybe he was 20. Maybe he was a little older. And what does he do with all those goods that his father gave him? Well, he gathered it all. He took it all. He didn't leave anything behind. He took all the goods that his father gave him, and he leaves. He leaves far away. He leaves his father's home. Did he look back at his father? Did he look behind him? We don't read that. But I can tell you, if he looked behind, he would see tears streaming down his father's face. Son, don't go. Don't leave. And you and I, by our sin in paradise, we took all the goods, everything, and we left God, that Father, that overflowing fountain of good, and we left him, and we didn't look back at all. We didn't want to look back, and we went far away. This man, he went into a far country, far away. He didn't want to see his father anymore. He didn't just go in the next neighboring town because he thought, I don't want to ever see my father again. What if my father came to town? I don't want to see him. I want to be free. I want to be far away. No more rules. Free from the house of my father. I want to live according to my own will. I want to do my own things. I want to be free. Is that you? Is that you, young people? You come to church, but you wish you could just be free. Free from all the rules of your home. Free from the rules of church. Free from the rules of school. Just free so you can live according to your flesh. This man wants to be free. And you and I in paradise, we left God. We want to live according to our own wicked hearts. Our hearts became wicked and we left God's. And we grieved God to his very heart with our willful rebellion. Really? Yes. What do we read in Genesis 6, verse 6? And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. By our willful rebellion, we grieved God to his very heart with our sin. And so this young man, he laughs. He gathers it all. He goes to a faraway country, far away, to be free. And now the Lord Jesus Christ, remember, he's responding, and he's going to picture the most horrible sinner that could be pictured in this time. He's going to show the depth of wickedness. Because what did this man do with the goods of his father? Did he cherish it? Did he keep it? This is the goods of my father? No. He went and he wasted it. That's a prodigal, a waster. You and I are wasters. We're prodigals. All the gifts God has given us, we've wasted. We spent it all on sin, self, the world, and to serve Satan. He's a picture of you and me. We are all in this parable. We are either a prodigal or we are a Pharisee. It's a picture of you and me spiritually. And what did this man do in this far away? He spent it all. He lived a life of absolute careless, reckless, sinful life. To say it simply, what did he do? He partied every day. He didn't care for those goods, but he just spent it all on sin. And we read also in verse 30, he even polluted himself, becoming one with harlots. You see those Pharisees listening? What a sinner. What a sinner. But let's look at you and me for a moment. We left God in paradise. And we use all our members, our minds, our affections, our desire, all our members, our whole being, only by nature to serve sin. Do you see it? Do you see it? That you have taken all the goods of the Father. And we only use it for sin in a very prodigal way, or as a Pharisee in a very self-righteous way. We read in Romans 3, it's a picture, and we read then of our tongues, of how we use it with sin, of our mouths, how we use it for sin, of our feet, of our mind, of our affections. And there's no understanding. There's none that seeketh after God. There is no fear of the Lord in our hearts by nature. We use all the Father's goods that he has given us for sin. Has it become a pain for you? Has it become a reality for you? And then in this parable, this young man far away from home, there comes a famine in the land. There comes a famine. And then you would say, young man, go home. Go back to your father's house. Is there not an abundance in your father's house? Go home. But this young man has no thoughts to ever go home. And he does not think of his father's home at all. He has no thoughts. And that's you and me, dead in sins and trespasses. And even when the Lord sends different afflictions, and when he speaks through his word, we keep living in sin, wasting all that God has given for self, for sin, and for the world. And then the Lord Jesus even shows farther, deeper, how this man is such an absolute sinner that he wished his father was dead, that he became one with a harlot, defiling his body, but also for the Pharisees and for the publicans, he pictures him absolutely ceremonially unclean. Why? How? Well, the famine in the land, then he goes to work for a pig farmer. You say, what's wrong with that? I know some of you are pig farmers. There's nothing wrong today. But in this time, to be or to have a pig, it was forbidden for a Jew. It was unacceptable. And so this man, instead of going home, he goes and joins himself to work for a pig farmer, becoming absolutely, completely polluted, corrupt, filthy, wicked. And you see those Pharisees listening? They would say, what a sinner. What a filthy sinner. That's not me. What a horrible sinner. But you see those publicans listening? Those sinners near Tim listening to every word? What do you think is in their hearts? What do you think? Maybe it's in your heart. Is it? I hope it is. That's me. That's me. That's a picture of me. I'm so filthy. I'm so sinful. I'm sinful from head to toe, within and without. I've wasted everything. So far, my whole life has been one big, unrighteous, filthy sin against God. And those publicans, they know it's my guilt. As Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 4, verse 18, thy way and thy doings have procured these things unto thee. This is thy wickedness, because it is bitter, because it reacheth unto thine heart. So it's upon you. It's your own guilt. My friend, is this a picture of you? Who are you? Is it? Are you murmuring that the Lord Jesus Christ receives sinners? Or has it become joy? Has it become hope in your heart that Jesus Christ receives sinners? Sinners. Dead sinners. That's you and me by nature. As we read in Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. Dead in trespasses and sins, walking according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Is that still you? I hope this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you become a lost sinner, not only a sinner in name, but in the very being. And remember, there's two sons. The younger son and the older son. The younger son is a picture of the publicans, and the older son is a picture of the Pharisees, but he's just as lost. He's at home. Or we could say he's in church on Sundays. This young man's far away. He didn't gather to worship. But this Pharisee, these Pharisees, they're in church. They're feeling smug. Smug about self. I'm good. I'm self-righteous. Is that still you? I pray that if it's you, that this morning you become lost. And what happens then in this faraway country with this famine? And this man doesn't have any thoughts of going home. And a sinner dead in trespasses doesn't have any thoughts of God the Father. Doesn't have any thoughts at all of wanting to go home. And here he comes into a place of want, as we read in verse 14. And when he had spent all his money is gone. He's broke. He spent it all. And he comes into a place of want. And he began to be in want. A sinner without grace is in want. He's without God. He's without peace. He's without joy. He's without God. He's just without. Enjoying life, the season of sin for a moment, but all that sweetness of sin, it only leads to death, young people. It only leads to death. You want to be free to serve self in the world, but it leads to death. And this man, in this time of famine, broke. He came into a place of want. Young man, go home. Think of the Father's house, but he has no thoughts yet. He has no desire to return home at all. He's dead. He's not only in want, he's absolutely dead in sins and trespasses. And that's a picture of natural man, lost, sinful, and in absolute want, but they don't see it. And that's our greatest misery. We are in misery. We are dead. We are filthy. We are absolutely wretched and on that way to hell. In want. And he doesn't see it. He doesn't see. Have you begun to see it? That you're filthy? And have you come into a place of want? But we read the absolute opposite of what David said in Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You see the opposite? What a great contrast. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And this young man, who is a picture of lost sinners, dead in sins and trespasses, are absolute in want. That's a picture of the natural man in want. But he doesn't see it, doesn't feel it. He's dead. My friend, you are in absolute, utter want if you are without grace, without God, and without that Savior, Jesus Christ. You are absolute in want. What was our first thought? A gracious father and a prodigal son was the theme. A son departing from his father. What was our second thought? A son returning to his father. How will ever such a dead sinner, far away from God, ever return? How will this young man ever return? Will he? How will he? Well, let's go to our second thought. Our second thought, a son returning to his father. And in each of these three parables, there's seeking and there's finding. There's that man who sought that sheep and found him. We see that woman searching for a coin and it was found. But who's searching in this third parable? Who's seeking actually in all three of these parables? Who's seeking? Who seeks and saves lost sinners? Man by nature? No. The Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to seek and to save sinners, as we read in Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He seeks and saves. He finds them. How does he find them? How does he find them? He finds them dead in sins and trespasses, as a prodigal or as a Pharisee, as a notorious sinner or as a self-righteous sinner, both lost. And he speaks. He works. He works through the acts of his providence. He sends sickness. He sends death. He sends afflictions in many different ways. He speaks through all those things. Because he wants to give our ear, he wants us to give attention, to take heed, prepare to meet thy God. And he speaks through his word. Repent ye, for why will ye die? Strive to enter in to the straight gate, the Lord Jesus Christ said. Turn ye, give me thy heart. And he speaks to the commandments of sin. He speaks to the gospel. And he pours his word upon us. But what do we do by nature? What does a man, graceless sinner, do by nature? We only resist, because the last thing we want to do is become lost and guilty before a holy God. As Stephen said in Acts 7, verse 51, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. Are you still resisting? You hear you're a sinner, but in your heart you say, really? I'm a sinner? You hear you're an absolute filthy wretch. You say, really? You hear that you are completely corrupt and polluted from head to toe, sin, and you say, really? You resist? Or has it become real? Has it become real? True. Have you become lost? A sinner? A lost sinner? How? How will such sinners who departed from God, how will such a son who departed from his father's house ever return? How? He's in a great spiritual need. He needs a spiritual renewal. Sinners need a spiritual renewal. They need their eyes to be opened, ears to be opened, minds to be lightened, hearts to be renewed. And then we read something in verse 17. Far away from home, among the pigs, broke in want. We read in verse 17, and he came to himself. What does that mean? What does it mean, this young man far away from home, he came to himself? What does the Lord Jesus Christ mean? He means his mind was enlightened. He saw himself. He saw himself there in his rags, in that stink, broke, and in want. He saw himself really for the first time. Who he was became a reality. He became a lost sinner. He became a filthy sinner. He received a renewal. He became real. Real. No more covering. No more covering. And that's my prayer, that Pharisees would become lost, and that prodigals would become lost, that he would come to himself for the first time by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Son seeketh and saveth, and he also gives life. He gives life. He came to himself. He came to his senses. And what happens? Now for the first time, since he left his father's house, he begins to think of his father. The first time he begins to think of his father. Let's read verse 17 again. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger." He begins to think of his father's house, his father's house that he left. He begins to think of the abundance that those servants, never mind a son, had in the father's house. He begins to think of the goodness of his father's house. He came to himself. He saw himself, but he began to think of his father's house. A true spiritual renewal in the heart of a sinner. Then a sinner becomes a sinner. He sees himself, whether he's a Pharisee or a prodigal, and they begin to think. They begin to think of God for the first time, of who he is. Not only of who they are before him as lost sinners, but they begin to be drawn by his goodness, by his love, by his mercy. And they begin to think, they feel the pain of missing God. Do you know that? Not only that you're sin, but also that you have a longing for God, for him, that you've left him. You feel the separation, and you begin to think of the goodness of God. That work of the Holy Spirit makes alive. Let's read a few verses from Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, verse 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. By grace ye are saved. This man came to himself. He's made alive. He receives a spiritual renewal. And what will happen in the hearts of sinners that receive a spiritual renewal? There will be fruits. There will be fruits. A dead tree has no fruits. A living tree has fruits. By the grace of God, fruits will be seen. Fruits of repentance and faith. What do we see in this parable? What fruits? Two things. Verse 18, I will arise. This man says, I will arise. He can't live in that place far from his father's home no more. He can't live in that place of sin. He has to say farewell. He has to leave, because this is only a place of death and a place of the disfavor of God. You see him, he's turning. That's what repentance is, a lightening of a mind and a turning. He leaves that place of sin and he is pointed. He's going towards his father's home. A sinner by the Spirit's renewal turns. They can't live in sin anymore. Why? Because love has been poured in their hearts. They can't live with that place where they loved to live before. It becomes bitter. It becomes absolutely a place of death. They have to say farewell. Farewell to the world. Farewell to all those pharisaical thoughts. Farewell to all wickedness. They have to leave. Is that you? Have you left? Have you turned away from sin? And is that goodness of the Father's house drawing you? And he also makes a confession. He says, I will arise. They can't live in sin. But he also confesses. There's confession. What's in the heart comes out of the mouth. Verse 18. And I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. No, he doesn't say, Father, I just made a simple error. Father, I shouldn't have left. I made an error. I should have stayed. He doesn't say, I made some mistakes. Father, he doesn't make any excuses. He's real. It becomes true. As David, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Do you know that confession? Can you not live in sin anymore? Has it become a place of death? But also, have you made true confession from your heart? Yes, our sins have consequences for other people, but it comes to one thing, that I sinned against God, that I grieved Him, that I've done evil in His sight, and I need to be just, I need to be reconciled with God. Against thee, thee only have I sinned. And then he says, I will arise and go to my Father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. In his heart, he would love to be a son again. And that's those sinners. They want to be brought back to the heart of God. They feel so lost, so wretched, so sinful, so polluted. But they know they aren't worthy of ever being called a son ever again. That would be so wonderful. That would be so amazing that they could ever become a child of God. Those words are so big, so great. But in the depth of the heart, that's their deep desire. Unworthy, is that you? Unworthy as a filthy wretch ever to be a child of God. But he says more. He says more, not only worthy to be a son, make me as one of thy hired servants. What does he mean? Well, in the Bible, there's two types of servants. There were servants, as Cornelius had, that lived in the house. They were close to the Father. The Father spoke to them. They could be in the house, as centurion's servant was. But there are other servants that just lived on the property somewhere. What he's saying? Saying, Father, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm not even worthy to be in thy presence. I'm not even worthy to be in the same house as thee. Father, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy to be a servant. Just make me one of thy hired servants. Oh, that I could just be on the same property. Maybe once in a while I could see, as I'm working, to see a glimpse of my Father. That would be so precious. That I could just hear him speak once in a while. What a wonder. Or it could also be, as it is in the hearts of those, not only this, but maybe he hoped also in time that he could work and work and work and gain the favor of his Father. And then again in time, oh, it would be such a wonder, maybe years, maybe a long time, to be a son again. But he has to learn, and those sinners have to learn. You can work your whole life, and you'll only find, you only become disqualified, lost, 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 a greater sinner. And you can never of yourself ever earn the favor of God. Why? Because it's all by free and sovereign grace. So this man said, I will arise and I'll go to my Father and I will confess. But he didn't only say it, he did it. Because we read in verse 20, and he arose. He couldn't stay there anymore. He didn't only say it. Sometimes we can say things, But true life, there is actions. There's confessions, but there's also action. It goes together. And now I'd like to read you something from the Canons of Dort. Third and fourth head of the Canons of Dort, Article 12, and I believe, let's read it together. It's on page 108. Page 108 in your Psalter. Third and fourth head of the Canons of Dort, Article number 12. Third and fourth head, Article number 12. We read, "And this is the regeneration so highly celebrated in Scripture and denominated a new creation, a resurrection from the dead, a making alive, which God works in us without our aid, so that in all whose heart God works in this marvelous manner are certainly infallibly and effectually regenerated, and do actually believe. Whereupon, the will thus renewed is not only actuated and influenced by God, but in consequence of this influence, becomes itself active. Wherefore also man is himself rightly said to believe and repent by virtue of that grace received. They're not only hearers, they become doers by God's grace." And we see this illustrated in the life of this prodigal son. He came to himself. He's made alive. And there comes actions. Sinners are made alive by the free and sovereign grace of God. They come to themselves. They become lost. But they also truly do believe and repent. There's action. My friend, have you been made alive? Have you become lost? Is there fruits of repentance and faith in your life? And now we see this man. Children, you see him? How many miles did he have to go? How many kilometers did he have to go to get to his father's? We have no idea. See him walking. Walking to his father's house. Going. Drawn by the goodness of his father. Traveling. See him walking there? And maybe as he came closer and closer to his father's house, he's going slower and slower. And then maybe there's questions in his heart. Will I be received? Will I be received? Is that in your heart? Lost sinner, you came to yourself. Will I be received? Will he receive me back? And maybe a voice is speaking. You've been too much of a Pharisee your whole life. All self-righteousnesses. Or you've been too much of a prodigal against better knowledge. You willfully left in paradise, but also by your own actions. You went to live on the world. Maybe in church on Sunday, but your heart is just for the world. You knew against all better instruction from your parents, from your teachers, from the word of God in God's house. You think he will receive you back? You're too great of a sinner. You lived your whole life in sin. You think he's going to receive you? Is that your question? And maybe you say, I've been such a fool. I lived my life as such a fool my whole life. I knew better. I heard it. I heard the truth, but I resisted, and I just willfully lived in sin. I've been such a fool. See him traveling? Maybe those voices? Are those voices speaking in your life? That voice is a lie. It's the whispers of Satan and evil. It's lies. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is giving this parable exactly against that voice of the murmuring that he receives sinners. See him walking? There's pain in his heart. Pain. Deep, profound pain. I've been a fool. I sinned. I sinned against better knowledge. I'm wicked. I'm sinful. I'm wretched. Maybe. Maybe there is tears streaming down his face. But there is definitely pain in his heart. Will I be received again? There's a people who cannot live in sin anymore. They have to leave it. All known sin becomes a place of death. and they left that place, and they're longing, they're going on that road, so to speak, traveling back to the Father. But oh, to be received, to be received. They long, they desire, but will I be received? The love of the Father's house and the abundance and the goodness and the mercy drew them. And that place of death and law pursued them. So they went forward. This man, he departed from his Father. He was made alive, found and made alive. He came to himself. But how? How will he be received? Will he be received? How will such sinners be received? It would be such a wonder if they would even be received. Let us sing now from Psalter 143, all stanzas standing. 143, all four stanzas. O God, according to thy grace, be merciful to me. In thy abounding love, blot out all my iniquity. O wash me wholly from my guilt, and make me clean within. For my transgressions I confess, I ever see my sin. 143, all stanzas.
Thank you.
Our third thought, a son received by his father. The first parable, we read of one sheep found. And they brought it home and they celebrated. They had a time of profound joy because a lost sheep was found. I never celebrated as a farmer when a lost animal was found. And then we read in the next parable of the woman that found that coin, and she called the neighbors to come together to celebrate, to have joy over a lost coin. Really? The Lord Jesus Christ in the parables makes shocking statements to catch the attention, to underline, to make an emphasis. But now we come to the third parable. How will such a son be received by his father? How will such lost, wicked, rebellious, corrupt, evil, sinful, polluted sinners that are brought to life, that repent and come longing, looking to him, how will they be received? We read in verse 20, and he arose and came to himself, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. What does that tell you? What does that tell us, Cargill? Children, what does that tell you? That moment that son came into view, his father saw him. What does that tell you? That means that father was looking for his son. Maybe he went out of his house many times a day looking, when's my son returning? I want my son home. The Lord Jesus is giving this parable. He's explaining who he is for lost, unworthy sinners. That father, he was looking every day, and the very moment that he saw his son come into view, he saw him. That means he was looking. He's seeking. He's looking. He's longing for those to be brought back into the very home. What a wonder. But what does he do then? Does he go to the door and shut it and lock it and say, don't come any further, you wicked son? That would be just. That's what we deserve. Only a locked door. But he doesn't. What does he do? He does something else. Something shocking. He gathers up his garments and that father begins to run. You say, what's wrong with that? Fathers can run. Absolutely today. But in this culture, it was never heard. It was below the dignity of a father to run. Boys, teenagers, they ran, but not a father. Never. So he caught their attention. He wants to underline how he receives sinners repenting, returning. That father ran. He ran like a boy. And what did he do? Did he come to that son and say, don't come any further? No, he didn't. What did he do? Before that son could say anything, he embraced him. He kissed him. He put his arms around him. And he kissed him. This man receiveth sinners. Do you see it? It's a picture of God is, of who Jesus is, for repentant, unworthy, lost, wicked, wretched sinners, for prodigals, but also for Pharisees that return unto him, made alive, and come to him, longing, begging. Before he could say a word, the Father embraced him, kissed him, and then the Son speaks. And he did not say everything that he had planned to say because the father isn't going to hear the last part. We read in verse 21, and the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight am no more worthy to be called thy son. He doesn't say anything more. The father won't hear it. What piece is missing? What will that father not hear? What will that father not have? Receive sinners back. He receives them back. Not as hired servants, no. He doesn't want to hear about it. He will receive them. And everything the Father does in those following verses, with the fatted calf, with the robe, with the ring, with the shoes. No, don't over-spiritualize it. Very dangerous. But one message, one complete message to that son. You are my son. You're my son. I won't have you as a servant. No, you come unworthy to be my son, but I just want to tell you, young man, you're my son again. God the Father, through Jesus Christ, receives sinners back, and as we hope the Lord willing to hear tonight, he receives them as sons through the work of his dear son. He seeks, he saves, he makes alive, he draws, and when they come, he receives them. He receives them as sons. What wonders of God's grace. How can such an infinitely holy and just God, who cannot look on sin, who cannot look on any sin, receive such sinners back and embracing them, kissing them back as sons? That's through his own son. Because his son left the far heaven and went to a far country, come to this world, and there upon this earth the arms of his father was closed to him, because he who knew no sin was made sin. He was cast out, he was placed on the cross, and all the wrath of God the Father fell upon him instead of those unworthy, wicked, wretched sinners. And because of him, he experienced, may I say it, the arms of his father was closed. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And because of him, because of his payment, because of his life, those arms are open today, congregation. Yes, they're open. They're open for repentant, confessing, unworthy sinners. And he will receive those who've been made alive, repent, confess, and come trembling. Come stumbling, crawling, creeping, yet looking to him, trusting in him, longing for him to speak. He receives them. Jesus Christ receives sinners, unworthy sinners. It's through him. Because those transgressions, all of them, original sin, actual sin, wicked sins, worldly sin, self-righteous sins, it's all blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 2 verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us. Do you see it? All your sins written against you, broken all the Ten Commandments, all sin, it's all written against you. You know the curse of the law? You're lost. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Nailed to the cross. And through those nails was the payment of that all-atoning blood. Payment. See this man, this young man, sitting in that house, sitting at that table, having a feast. There was a feast. The father celebrated. He had profound joy. His son was found, made alive, and he's home again. What must have been in that man's heart? What must have been in that man's heart? What joy. Joy that he never ever tasted before. I'm not only home. I'm not only tasting the benefits, but more. What he longed to be. I'm a son. I'm a son. Is that your heart? Oh, to be received back to God. Oh, to be a child. Is that your heart? Is that your heart? Wait upon him. Look to him. Be that beggar and wait for him to speak. But look to him. Cling to him. Call unto him. And at his time, he will speak. He will assure his own work. And he will see them as sons. Let's look at that older son for one moment. That older son, is he a picture of you? This older son is angry. That man, my brother, which was such a wicked man, my father receives him back. He's angry. He's a self-righteous Pharisee. He won't have any part in this celebration. Is that you? You hear of others that God works in, and you say, I can't stand it. I don't believe it. It didn't go exactly according to how I think it should go. self-righteous in yourself. No joy. No joy in such wretches being saved. Is that you? Do you murmur? Do you murmur? No, we'll never say it out loud, right? But in your heart, do you murmur that God receives sinners? Or has it become absolute, profound joy? Has that simple message of the gospel, again, given you a little sweetness this morning? It never becomes old. It always becomes so new that the Lord receives sinners, because that's who I am, that's who I've been, and that's who I remain to be. And this older brother hears music. He hears joy. He hears celebration. There's singing. There's music. There's joy in that house. And there's going to come a time in the Father's house, in heaven, where all those wretched sinners that he worked in, that he sought, that he saved, and that came to the place of repentance and repented and repented and repented, but also looked to him in faith, that believe only in him, they would be brought together, one shepherd, one flock, forever into eternal place of absolute, profound, deep, holy joy. Will you be there? Will you be there? Will you be singing around the throne of the Lamb, casting your crown at his feet, or you will be cast out, and only cursing? I can understand to be there. Oh, it will be a place of absolute, unspeakable joy, free from all sin, and singing glory. It begins in this life, but it's so mixed with sin still. But they're free. A full and free celebration. Holy, infinitely pure singing. But someone else will be singing. Who? The angels. No, God himself will be singing. He'll be singing over his people. Yes, Zephaniah 3, verse 17. The Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, is mighty. He will save. And now listen. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. That's the future. Poor sinners, wretched sinners, repenting sinners, confessing sinners, believing sinners, that's the future. But you who resist, who don't ever want to become lost, absolute lost and wretched before God as who you are, you will not be singing, but you will forever be cursing. The Lord Jesus Christ, he heard this murmuring, and he answered, and he underlines. You can put an exclamation mark behind it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we read in Jeremiah 3 verse 1, but thou hast played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord. What wonders of God's grace. May he bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that the simple message of the precious gospel becomes food and drink for your and for my soul. Amen. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou hast given us thy precious word to teach us of who we are, sin, but also to teach of who thou art. And in this morning we heard from thy word that thou receivest sinners. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would teach us, and that we may become sin, lost sinners, corrupt sinners, filthy sinners, that we would lose all self-righteousnesses, and that the sweet message of the gospel of who thou art through thy Son become food and drink. Bless it, Lord. Be the after preacher. Keep us in this day. Watch over us. Bring us again together tonight and give opening to preach, Lord. Do it for thy name's sake and for our eternal welfare. we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 280, stanzas 1 and 4. Psalter 280, stanzas 1 and 4. O my soul, bless thou Jehovah. All within me bless his name. Bless Jehovah and forget not all his mercies to proclaim. And what follows, 280, stanzas 1 and 4.
Thank you.
dear congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.